Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. What a great start to the new year. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Anytime Jesus in the Gospels says the word first, we should pay attention. That's kind of important. Like, seek first the kingdom of God, right? That's pretty important. Or anytime Jesus says the word greatest, that's pretty important. You know, if this is the greatest, he's calling our attention to that. Anytime Jesus uses the word first and greatest in the same sentence, that's got to be especially important. And that's exactly what he does here in Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 34. Jesus had another confrontation with the Pharisees, the religious people of the day, and he reels them in because they had put themselves in a pretty high position seeking power, privilege, and prestige, and Jesus brings them back to reality. Matthew 22, beginning at verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? That's a valid question. Jesus replied, verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So let's start the year off focused on the first and greatest and most important and vital command of all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You see, the Pharisees did not seek to be servants. They sought to be served. They sought out positions of power, prestige, authority. They wanted their position. And Jesus was saying to them, you've got it all backwards. You may be religious, and you may be the religious leaders, and you may be the teachers of the law, but your heart's not in the right place. And he draws them back to Scripture, and he says, if you truly want to follow God, you must be a servant. For to love is to serve. If you say to your spouse, I love you, and then seek to dominate them, or coerce them, or manipulate them, or hurt them, you're not loving them, and you're certainly not serving them. So to love is to serve. So when Jesus says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, he's calling us to serve God. When he tells us to love our neighbor and our fellow man, he's calling us to serve them in love. And so to begin the year, we want to talk about servant leadership. In our Wednesday night group, starting this Wednesday night, we will be going through the book Spiritual Leadership. And so we'll use the word spiritual leadership and servant leadership interchangeably. And we're going to work through this classic book by J. Oswald Sanders. This book was very instrumental for me as a young person. And so we're going to walk through the principles of it together. If you don't have a copy, go to Amazon. Order a copy, $12, but it'll be a great resource for you in your library, especially in this new year as we focus on this month, and really all year, servant leadership and spiritual leadership, which is very distinct from how the world and how our culture views leadership. One of the things I want to do in the month of January is highlight some of the ministries of our church and the servant leaders who head those up. And I wanted to begin the year, I wanted to begin this series talking about what is perhaps the most important ministry of our church and should be the most important ministry of any church, is that of prayer. We intentionally seek to be a house of prayer, a people of prayer, and yet, even though it's so important in our walk with God, because there's a mystery surrounding prayer, because there's a lot of misunderstandings regarding prayer, because there's a lack of teaching of prayer in our churches, many believers do not tap into the power of prayer. There are no experts on prayer. If someone tells you they're an expert on prayer, don't listen to them. Because, again, there is a divine mystery about prayer. But there are practitioners of prayer, an effective prayer, because the scriptures do talk about effective prayer. And one of the most blessed practitioners of prayer in our church is Sue Thompson. And so, Sue, come on up here, and I'm just going to have a conversation with Sue. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have conversations with other ministry leaders. I think most of you, all of you know Sue. Some of you newer people did not know Gary, her husband, and I wish you had. Because if you think Sue is fantastic, and we all do, Gary was a special man, just a beautiful man, a man of God, man of prayer, a loving man, tender heart, and I wish you had known Gary, but he's rejoicing with the Lord in heaven. Sue is a wonderful practitioner of prayer. She doesn't seek out a leadership position. She doesn't seek out glory for herself. Her life really is all about glorifying God. And that's one of the reasons why we love you so much. But I just want to talk to you about prayer. Let's just begin about, just talk about what prayer is to you and what it means and how you approach it and define it. And we'll start from there.
Prayer is my lifeline to God. Knowing His will for my life, knowing directions to go, choices to make. Don't do them unless you take them to God. It's always been a very important part of my life. I was fortunate to be raised in a church where we had prayer as the center. Amen. We had our Wednesday night prayer groups, and I think John can also talk about how, since we started on Wednesday night prayer, how our church has grown, not in numbers so much, but in Christ following. So that's where I begin.
You have had some significant losses recently. How has prayer sustained you and supported you during the difficult times?
Again, it's just a matter of taking it to God and leaving it at His feet. When we pray, so many of us haven't reached that point of totally trusting God. When you say, Lord, help me through this situation, I leave it with you, and then you get up off your knees, you turn around, you pick it up as you go. That's not total giving it over to the Lord. We have to die to self in order for our prayers to be sincere. We want them to be sincere. God is our Lord. He is the one that will take care of us. We ask, and He does. And we just have to get to that point in our lives where when we say, Lord, it's yours, we leave it with Him. Otherwise, our lives are never going to be at peace.
Amen. We just sang that great hymn of the church, perfect submission, all is at rest. And that's one of the things that prayer offers us that nothing else really can, is just a divine rest. Even when things around us are falling apart, God, through His presence, gives us perfect submission, all is at rest in His presence. What are some of the misconceptions, in your view, that people have today about prayer? There's a lot of them, but what are some of the big ones that come to your mind?
I think that one of the big misconceptions is people saying, "I will pray for you." And that's probably the most education they've had in prayer was, okay, everybody prays. But does everybody pray? They don't. They say, "I'm going to do this," and then they turn around and they don't. You know, they thought about it for that moment, and God hears that. He does hear that. But if we're earnestly going to be praying for that person, then when we need to stop, turn around, get down on our knees and say, "Lord, you heard this plea. Be in this situation. Be the conqueror." And we need to leave it with Him. I think that the most important thing about prayer is you tune out everybody else and you're talking to God. You're communicating directly with God. I'm not putting down any other religions, but a lot of religions teach you to say certain prayers. God is a conversation. You take your hurts, your needs, your desires to Him. And then you listen afterwards to hear what He's saying back to you. You watch for answers. And there you also praise for the answers.
Amen. So when I say Sue is a practitioner of prayer, let me give you an example. We have a pretty good active online Facebook prayer group. And if you're not part of that, talk to us and we'll get you connected in that. And, you know, during the week, if someone has a prayer request, they'll post it or we'll post on behalf of others. So, for example, yesterday I got a call from Marilyn Johnson, and she's having a pacemaker put in tomorrow morning. And I prayed with her over the phone, and then I told her, can I put it on our prayer chain so others can be praying? And she said, absolutely. So I did. But one of the things that separates Sue's prayer ministry from the rest of us, myself included, is that she will take the time online and type out the prayer. You know, most of us just say, okay, we're praying, or we'll click like, or we'll click the little heart button, which is fine. But Sue will take the time to write out her prayers. And she does it for every request that comes in. You know, John Wesley used to write out his prayers every morning and every night. And I have his works, and every so often I'll go and read them, and they're amazing. There's a beautiful spiritual discipline in writing out the prayers. Why do you do that, and how does it help?
First of all, I want to assure the person that when they say, "Pray for me," they know that I really am actually praying for them. Yes. It's part of a prayer ministry. Everybody is called to pray. The Bible directs us to pray. Not everybody is called to a prayer ministry. A ministry is teaching, and I've had this forever, since I was a kid. Like, I was trained up in prayer, and it was an important part, not so much in my household, but in my church I went to. It was something we vigorously sought, was to be in prayer for different situations. And like where I work at Walmart, I've always done this, and God called me to do it. You can't talk about God at Walmart or any public place like that. That's against their policy. However, you can have conversations with people, I've never advertised that I'm a prayer warrior, but people recognize that in me. And people I don't even know will come up to me in the store and say, "I know you pray. Will you pray for me about this situation?" And so I stand there in the middle of the store with this person with my eyes open, and I pray. Nobody knows what's going on. It's not hurting anybody. But that person knows I have prayed for them. And it's what God has called me to do. Now, a lot of people are intimidated by prayer. And if you've never been part of an active prayer group, come on Wednesday nights. We have people who are real prayer warriors there. And we have people who sit and pray. And God honors both. I encourage you, if you haven't prayed, to start with a little prayer and be part. Just vocalizing makes it real.
Okay, so you touched on a couple of things. I want to tag on to that last thing you said. Vocalizing, the power of vocalizing it. I've been reading some books on prayer. I've been reading some A.W. Tozer. And one of the things that he makes an emphatic point, probably more emphatic than I would make, he makes the point that it is important that we learn how to pray publicly. You know, private prayers are good, and there's a place for prayer in our private prayer closet. But he says a lot of Christians just need to learn to vocalize and pray verbally. And the more I thought about that, he makes sense. You know, I love Renee, but if I never verbalize that to her, if I never say I love you, she's going to begin to wonder, right? When you pray privately, it's different. Public prayers are different as well. What's the power behind, well, both the private prayer and public prayer?
Private prayer is very intimate with God. Your needs that you personally need in your life, that's where you share that with God. When somebody is publicly asking for help, they've already asked for help in that area. They want to know that you really are truly praying for them. And by vocalizing it, you're telling them, I trust God to take this situation. They know you're praying for them, and it gives them encouragement. It also is what God has told us to do in the Bible again. Pray for one another. Pray unceasingly. It's a life that we just need to learn to grow. And, you know, some people can be a Christian forever and never pray, but yet they're saved. You're just missing out on one of God's blessings. When you can communicate directly with God and you can learn, you reach that spot of maturity in your prayer life where you learn that you're responsible for other people's prayers because they learn from you, and then you leave it in God's hands, then you have not arrived completely, but you're growing, and that's what we're called to do, is to grow in Christ. The more we grow in Christ, the more others know about Christ. What more ministry would you want than to share God's love with everyone?
Amen. Okay, so maybe someone's sitting here today and they say, okay, I want to start praying on a regular basis. I want to start the new year right, but I don't know how to get started. What do I do? What advice would you have for them?
Verbalize in your prayer closet. Don't just sit there in your mind and pray. Verbalize it. God likes to be talked to. And then I would start, like when somebody says, pray for me, say, okay, let's do that. Just take their hand and say, Lord, this is your child. You've heard their plea. And then leave it in his hands. You're responsible for teaching other people to pray. Not that it's what you're called to do. I have been called to do this. And everybody has their own ministries, but you are called to pray. You're called to pray for one another, to hold each other up. So I would just start by simple sentences of verbalizing what you've been asked to pray about and let that person hear. It's intimidating if you're a shy person, if you're... And again, you need to get beyond yourself. You need to die to self and do what God says. And when somebody says, pray for me, pray for them. Don't even think about, is my voice okay? Is my voice cracking like mine does today? Are my words strong? Are they what God wants? You just talk to God and let the person listen. Then they are validated. They know that you are really doing what they are asking.
Amen. And the Bible tells us, Jesus taught us how to pray. You know, the disciples went to Jesus and they said, teach us how to pray. And he taught them how to pray. And so maybe you're sitting there and you say, well, I want to learn how to pray. Well, there's no better teacher than Jesus. This is what we call the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. And so let's pray this together, since we're talking about prayer. And I think this would be a good starting point to begin to learn to develop a habit of prayer. Pray with me the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That last part is not in the New International Version, but it is in the King James Version. And I love the King James Version portion of the Lord's Prayer.
The Lord's Prayer was an example of how we are to pray. We start out by recognizing our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed, we're honoring him. We're called to honor him. Hallowed be thy name. And then we're talking, thy kingdom come. We're asking for this to come to us on earth, his kingdom come, thy will be done in our lives. And then we go on to ask for requests in the next sections. So God's example is how we are to pray. We start out by praising him and honoring him in his position. And again, it's just a conversation with God. And so when you pray, shut out everybody around you. You're talking to your King.
Amen.
Directly.
Amen.
I say one more thing. As far as praying out loud, if you find that intimidating, practice by just a couple sentences, because you will grow in prayer yourself. It's not for our benefit. You're not to worry about what you're saying, because then you're thinking of other people. You're not really praying. Make it sincere. Just talk to God and just verbalize it. At home, in your closet, when you're alone, pray. Don't worry about what other people think. You're talking to God, and he honors that.
Amen. Another book that I'm reading, this is brand new. I just picked this up. It just came out this last year. It's called Learning to Pray, A Guide for Everyone. James Martin is a Jesuit priest, but there's some really good things in here. He writes on a very, very basic level for beginners, all the way up to people who've been praying for a long time. I would encourage you to pick this up, Learning to Pray by James Martin. One of the things he begins the book by saying, he gives us 10 reasons why people don't pray. And so I'll read these to you and you tell me what you think. Number one, they weren't taught. Number two, they consider prayer something reserved for holy people, but not for them. Number three, they've been told that they're praying wrong. Number four, they're turned off by religion and are therefore turned off by prayer. Number five, they've never been encouraged to think about what they already do as prayer. Number six, they've had bad experiences with prayer and feel that they have failed at it. Number seven, they don't see the point, since God already knows what they're thinking. Number eight, they're just too busy. Number nine, they're lazy. And number 10, They fear change. What do you think of that list? Anything pop out at you?
All those things on the list are true. It's just something that we've got to make a priority in our life. And, you know, you find the time. When God puts it on your heart, you find the time. And it can be quick, it can be fast, it can be with the person in the middle of Walmart standing there. Prayer is that vital to our growth in Christ. You can't be near to a person if you don't talk to them.
So, Sue, to close us out, would you say a prayer for us? I do want to clarify, Sue is not the only prayer practitioner in our church. There are many, but I'm drawn to Sue's prayer life because she takes it seriously, and she's consistent, and she's genuine, and we want to continue to build upon that and just have prayer warriors all throughout our community. We love Sue. We appreciate her servant leadership in this area, and we want to just continue to develop more prayer warriors, and we're going to do that. So, Sue, would you pray for us our first prayer of the new year, and we will receive it.
Mighty Father, we just come before you today, Lord. We thank you for prayer. We thank you for this lifeline, Lord. We thank you that you ask us to come as your children. In this year to come, Lord, I ask that you just grow more ministers of prayer so that it reaches out into our community, Father, so that we are known for the strength of our prayers in our neighborhoods, in our community, that people will know that when they ask for prayer, that it is being taken to you, Lord. Lord, just make us comfortable in your presence. Let us know that you are our Father, that you want us to come to you with our needs, Lord. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for this message, Lord. And Lord, like the song says, why me, Lord? I don't know why you chose me for this, Lord, but I thank you for that ministry, and I pray that you will bring up others in that ministry also, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sue.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God, because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.